Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Who's ready for a challenge? To be convicted? If you're ready, take a seat. Wow. All right, so let's go to the book of Acts. Good to see some new faces. Welcome to church, Newmark South today. Who's ready? Everyone's looking to the screen, looking for something. Yeah, we'll go to Acts. Chapter 8, it will come up on the screen. We're going to read verses 4 to 8. If you're there, say what they say at that life group. If you're there, got it. You say, got it. When you find a scripture and you get it, you go, got it, then I know you're ready. If you're in Acts chapter 4, no, chapter 8, let me know. Got it. All right. Here we go. So it says, now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. What did they go about doing? Preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. What did he do? He proclaimed. You guys are good readers. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. I'll read that again because I didn't read that properly. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. Next one, let's go. For unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in the city. Come on. So we're reading from the book of Acts 4-8. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. See, these were the apostles. These were the disciples, these were the followers of Christ. The Holy Spirit had come on the day of Pentecost. You read in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus promises his disciples the Holy Spirit. He says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll receive power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the far ends of the earth. That's what Jesus says in Acts 1 verse 8. Holy Spirit comes, stuff starts to happen. The word starts to go out. There's boldness. These guys are preaching. But he says, when the Holy Spirit comes, you will receive power to be my witnesses. Not just in Jerusalem where they were, but actually it says in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. We're part of that, the uttermost parts of the world. This is how the word, the gospel, this is how we know the word today. It's because in Acts 8, verse 4, it says, now those who were scattered. Do you know why they were scattered? All the believers, all there was like, we hear in Acts 2 that 3,000 were added to their number when the Holy Spirit came and Peter preached boldly. People were getting saved. But as persecution started to happen, as people, the Jewish leaders, the religious people that did not believe in the message of Jesus, they were angry. They weren't happy. They started beating people. They started killing people. That was persecution. And it's that persecution that caused this scattering. But this scattering actually meant that the word could be preached and proclaimed throughout the world. So that's what's happening here. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. One of them was Philip. Philip goes down to where? Samaria. Remember Acts 1 verse 8, Jesus said, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. So this is where we're at. We are in Samaria and the brother is preaching the gospel. He's there. He's like, you guys, you've been waiting for the Messiah. You guys have been worshiping religiously in temples. You've been all about the law. You've been trying to be good. You're trying to do what you think God wants. But actually, you've missed it. Because the real thing came and you didn't see it. It was God's Son, Jesus. He sent him. He lived. He died on that cross. And I've come to tell you, he's preaching with so much authority. These crowds are just like, whoa. They're hearing the good news of Jesus. And we hear that they paid attention. The crowds paid attention to what Philip was saying. And people were getting baptized. People were getting saved. Demons were being cast out because he was proclaiming the word, the truth of Jesus Christ. God has been on my case. He's on my case right now. It's annoying sometimes, but I'm starting to get used to it. And you know what it is? He's on my case with his case. He wants to replace my case, with his heart. It's like, we're in this series at the moment, sharing Jesus confidently. It's all about us sharing Jesus. That's what Philip was doing. He was proclaiming, he was preaching. He was sharing Jesus to where he had been sent to. Oh man, I can come in here and I can preach like what I'm doing. I'm stepping out. I'm getting used to it, but I'm still depending on God. But when I go out there, I'm like, I'm not going to preach to nobody. Like it's not the same, but it's needed out there more. So this is what we're talking about. This is Jesus' heart. So God has just been on my case. And I've been telling you for the last, I don't know how many months, and I've been stepping out, sharing Jesus in different ways, but it's just intensifying. Last week, we're on holidays on the Gold Coast celebrating my beautiful wife's, Candice's, 40th birthday. We're in this hotel. We're having breakfast. We're enjoying breakfast. And there's a really nice man who was, serving us. He was the waiter. He was just so nice. He's probably in his 50s or something. And when I say God's on my case, it's because when you pray regularly, Lord, use me. Lord, I want to be your vessel. Lord, I want to share your gospel in what I do, in what I say. God answers that prayer. But it doesn't mean it's going to be easy to step out, right? So I'm in the hotel, we're having breakfast. I'm like sensing God wants me to say to him, bro, you've got Jesus all over you. Has everyone ever said that? You got a whole lot of Jesus. That's what I was thinking. I was getting from God. I'm thinking, how is he going to take that? Hey, man, I just want to tell you, you got a whole lot of Jesus. So I'm thinking, how do I do it? Because he was just had great customer service. There was just something about him. So I freaked out. I chickened out. I was thinking about it the whole time, but I didn't. I talked to him about other things. We went, had our day, did our thing. Next day, we came back for breakfast last day. Oh, Alex is here. Awesome. And I'm thinking about it. How do I do this? And on that day when I was thinking about him, I actually thought, I want to say, you know, I can see Jesus in you. But have you actually heard of The Chosen? There's a film called The Chosen. You know, you can download it. It's for free. It's amazing. It's all about the life of Jesus. You can watch it online. You can stream it onto your TV from your phone. It will change your life. About Jesus's life, his disciples. It just brings it to life. So I wanted to just say those few things to him. That's all I had. But now on this second day, I'm just going to the bathroom, still freaking out about when do I get this moment? I get this sense that God wants me to actually say, hey, bro, you are in a transition in your life. And God just wants you to know that he's going to give you so much peace and you're going to get to the other side. I'm like, thank you, Lord. You give me a second chance to share it again today. And it's developed. A man should not be alone. So I pull my wife into this because she didn't know. This is second day. She knew nothing about this. We're sitting having breakfast. Happy birthday, baby. But I'm just thinking about Alex. How do I share the gospel with him? So I finally say to her, hey, can we just prophesy over this guy? She's like, what? Because I'm not giving any context. But anyway, that helped. Long story short, we got the guy to come. And I said, hey, man, I just love your customer service. And I just see Jesus all over you. We're so thankful for you. And I just sense from God that you're going through a transition. He's looking at us, smiling, and then he ducks down like to my level and goes, yeah, that's right. Next thing, he sits on the other side. We start chatting. I tell him about The Chosen. We didn't pray for him or anything like that, but we planted a seed. We don't know what God's going to do with that. But that's what I mean. Wherever I go, God is on my case. Can anyone relate? The sermon hasn't started yet because we had 15 people here yesterday from this church. go to Pneuma City yesterday to do the Sharing Jesus Confidently course. People are hungry. Just look around the room. Just imagine, how can you get 15 people from a room this size going to Richmond to learn about how can I share the gospel? It's not normal. There's something happening in our church, in your hearts that God's doing. This is not just me saying God's on my case. He's on your case. He's on my case. And why is it? It's because we've all received something so special from Jesus, from God, salvation. We think about evangelism, and evangelism is pretty much, someone put it for me like this recently. They said evangelism is you joining in a conversation that the Holy Spirit's already having with someone else. That's all evangelism is. You just joining in a conversation that the Holy Spirit's already having with someone else. You're not having to start anything. You're just, God just shows you who to speak to. You know, whatever. It's not just about walking to someone on the street. It looks so different. And we'll talk more about that next week. But evangelism is actually for everyone. It's not just for the evangelists, people that call themselves evangelists, or just for the pastors, or just for the people that are confident. It's for you. It's for me. God has been on my case. I was at the airport. I told a lot of you guys a few months back. I was in my journal, writing my journal about an encounter I had in an Uber with someone else. But next thing I'm thinking about a guy who's coming to sit next to me. I start giving him a word, fast forward, a word that I sense God was giving me to do with him charging his phone. Because I just saw him charging his phone and I felt God was saying, you need to tell him that he needs to do the same thing with me. He needs to be charged up with me. He needs to be connected with me. I don't know if this guy's a Christian. I don't know nothing. But I'm sitting there on my way to Zimbabwe trying to journal about something else that happened, and God's on my case again. Yeah. Anyway, I talked to the guy. He tells me 10 minutes ago, he goes, this is weird because 10 minutes ago I was on TikTok and I started following some guy who was talking about Jesus, and this is what I've been looking at. Now you're coming here talking to me about the same thing. So you see how I was just joining into a conversation that God was already having with someone else. So it's for all of us. 2 Timothy 4 verse 5 says this. As for you, this is Paul talking to Timothy, but it's also for all of us. It was written for the church. As for you, can you guys say, as for me? As for you, always be sober-minded. That just means just think rightly. Sober-minded, think rightly about God. Think truthfully about yourself. Think truthfully about others. Sober-minded. Endure suffering. We all go through suffering. Endure suffering, he says. Get through it. God will take you through it. But this is the part I want to focus on. Do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. It says, fulfill your ministry. What's your ministry? Our ministry is to make disciples. Jesus has asked all of us in Matthew Chapter 28, 18 to 20, you guys know it. If you don't know it, write it down. Talk to me later. It's called the Great Commission. We've all been called to make disciples. That's our ministry. So that's what he's talking to Timothy about. But he says, do the work of an evangelist. What does an evangelist do? An evangelist proclaims the Word of God, shares the Word of God, tells the Word of God. There's so many different ways. We'll talk about it next week. But you guys know what I'm talking about. But I just want you to get that this is for all of us. This is not just for me. This is for all of us. We are all called to be evangelists, to do the work of an evangelist, to fulfill our ministry. Anyone here love Jesus? Anyone here being led by Jesus? Yeah, you're a bit like, oh, that one. Now, if you're being led by Jesus because you're giving your life to Jesus, guess what he does? He actually puts people around you that need him. He sends you to places in your work, there's people that need him. When you go to the coffee shop, there's people that need him. They're going through stuff. They need his love. They need his joy. They need his kindness. So if he's leading you, because you know what Jesus' heart is? Luke 19 verse 10 talks about the heart of Jesus. This is his heart. He says, I came to seek and save the lost. That's what he came for. And he came and he gave us everything we need to do that. He made a way. And now he's given us his heart to do the same thing, to seek and save the lost. So wherever you go, whether you're just walking on your street, whether it's your neighbor, Mary Jane, she needs Jesus. Who's Mary Jane? I just made that up. But there's lost people everywhere. We've been there. You could be in here today. You've come in saying, I know something's missing. Lost just means you are not walking with God. You have not given your life to God. So his heart is for the lost. He wants to see the lost saved. But how are the lost actually going to get saved? Hey, how are they going to get saved? How did you get saved? You and I need to know God's story. They need to know God's story. When you do sharing Jesus confidently, you'll learn God's story. And some of you in life group are doing that right now. We all have an opportunity to go online, do the course. It's available. It's not just for this series. It's an all-time thing. But God's story, you can put into these five things. God is holy. He's holy. He's sacred. He's set apart. He's separate. He's holy. God is holy. You and I, man, humankind, we are sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So God is holy. Man is a sinner. Man needs a savior. We need a savior because God is holy and sin has come into our lives. We're born as sinners because of Adam and Eve in the garden. So we all fall short. We're born in it. So we need a savior. So number four, what did Jesus do? What did God do? He sent his one and only son, Jesus. He lived, he died on the cross, he paid the price, and he rose again. But he's coming back, number five. He's coming back. That's God's story. Who knows John 3 verse 16? If you don't know it, you're going to know it today. Google it, it'll come up. Most people have heard it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Some of you old school people would be like, his one and only begotten son. He gave his one and only son so that whoever would do what? Believe in him would not perish, would not die, but have eternal life. That right there is the good news. That is the gospel that God loved, that God gave. You believe, you receive. That's something you need to remember as people who have God's heart when you're sharing the gospel. Just think that. God loved, God gave, you believe, you receive. See, we have the gospel. It's the truth. It's what happened. It's what's available. You believe, you receive. But how are people actually going to believe? How will they get to the point of receiving? So you got the gospel and you got someone's response. There's a gap between the gospel and someone's response. Guess what? God's calling you and I to fill that gap. To actually share his story, God's story. Can you share God's story in your own way? Can you share it in your own words with the person God leads you to? He's calling you and I in our schools, in our universities, at the gym, wherever you go, to share his story. So we all have a part. We all have a role in sharing his story. So my first point for this morning is, that's funny, guys. See, there's no point up on the screen. My first point this morning is that for them to hear it, you've got to proclaim it. For people to hear it, you've actually got to proclaim it. For people to hear the gospel, you've got to proclaim it. See, you've got a story, and your story as someone who loves Jesus. He saved you, how he saved you, what he's done, what he's doing. No one else can share that story. I can't share your story. I'm sorry, I can't. I can't. I need to know your story. Tell me. But no one else can share your story but you. Has anyone got a story? Like, your story is powerful. No one else can share your story. Pastor Steve can't share your story. I can't come to work with you. But God has put the people in your workplace, the person on the train who's next to you crying, who knows why. Say, God calls us to proclaim Christ. This is what Philip was doing. He went there proclaiming Christ. Proclaiming is preaching, it's telling. It's telling people of a message, and you telling them that message with urgency, with a sense of urgency. As you tell that story with joy, as you tell that story in love, you also actually tell them at some point about the consequences of not accepting that message. For whoever would believe in him will not perish, but have eternal life. So if you're not going to believe, then there's a consequence for that. We'll get more into that next week. But for them to hear it, someone's actually got to tell it. Who is God wanting you to tell? Who's God put in your life? At work, extended family. When's the last time you told someone when they said, how was your weekend? When's the last time you actually said, hey, yeah, it was great. I went to church. We come here, we have these awesome moments in worship. We fall to the ground. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. But when we get to work, it's like, how was the weekend? Yeah, it was great, awesome. All you have to do is just be straight up, but you don't have to tell them about the encounter you had. Just by saying you went to church, you don't know what that's going to do. You might not even get in a conversation in that moment, but one day they'll ask questions. For them to hear it, you've got to proclaim it. Because if you don't tell them, who's going to tell them? How do you even know when you're talking to people whether they actually know the gospel or not? Like, how are you going to know? Do these people need the gospel or do they not? Who doesn't need the gospel? But all we've got to do is ask questions. Just ask questions, intentional questions. Just get in their lives. If you have to, ask, have you ever heard about Jesus? It can be as simple as that. Some people don't actually know about Jesus. You'd be surprised. I've asked a few people as I've been trying to grow in this area, oh, hey, do you know anything about, some people have got no idea in this generation. So just ask the question, and you can always follow up that question with, would you like to? It could be like, have you ever prayed? Because you know they're going through something. Have you ever been prayed for? Would you like me to pray for you? Just ask questions, then you will know whether people know the gospel or not. Ask them what they believe. Ask them to share their beliefs, their story. Don't just go at it. And as you let them share, they'll ask you at some point, what about you? But you just got to ask the questions. For them to hear it, what do we have to do? We've got to proclaim it. Second point this morning is for them to see it, we've got to demonstrate it. For them to see it, we've got to demonstrate it. If we go back to Acts chapter 8, verse 6, it says, and the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he was doing. So how did they actually pay attention? How did they actually have an encounter? It's because they heard it, what he was saying, and they actually saw signs and wonders. People were being healed. Demons were being cast out. See, we have power in us. You'll receive power to be my witnesses. We have resurrection power. The Bible tells us in Romans that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in us. And that power is not for us to just keep to ourselves and feel good, come and worship. But actually, we need to demonstrate that power. God wants to demonstrate, show. Demonstrate means to show. He wants to show himself powerful and loving and being God to others, but he needs a vessel to work through. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4, just go to that now. It's not going to come up on the screen. How are you guys doing? Anyone getting encouraged yet? Challenged? Anyone? They're going out to share the gospel. They're ready. That's awesome. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4. Paul says this to the church in Corinthians. He says, "And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." It's awesome. We can declare the word. We can share the gospel. But look at what happened in Samaria when they actually were seeing signs and wonders. People were being prayed for. They were seeing demons cast out. We have to preach the gospel. Have you ever thought maybe we're not seeing people get healed when we pray for them at times out there or in here because we're actually not preaching the gospel? We're not sharing. We're not having those opportunities. So we've got to preach it, share it, but no, they can't just hear it. They need to see it. How is the gospel being demonstrated in your life? You know, we show the power of God through love. Acts of love, acts of service, kind words, praying for people. Can I pray for you? You see someone, you know it. You have the Holy Spirit in you. He will show you, oh, that person, they're on crutches. Why don't you ask if you can pray for them? That's not a thought from the devil. That's, where else could that be? Oh, that's just me. So what if it's just you? God's giving you his heart. That's why too, he's talking to you. So just ask the question, bro, what happened to your leg, man? Not in that tone. And then just at some point offer to pray and do it right there and then. If you don't know how to pray, talk to us. We love to pray. We've got courses on how to pray. But praying for someone will make such a big difference. And through that, it's not you who's going to show up. It's God that's going to show up. We hit the streets yesterday as part of this course and we got to pray for people. I'm sure some people said no. Who cares if they say no? You've done your part. Yes, God cares. But someone said this morning, Jesus is used to rejection. He gave his one and only life. God gave his one and only son. But so many reject him. So what's another no going to do? But you just don't know. The next time they might say no, but someone else might ask them another time. And they're going to be like, wow, someone's looking out for me. For them to see it, we've got to demonstrate it. But we've actually got to look for opportunities. We walk out of our houses, we just, well, I'm going to miss the tram. Oh, I'm going to miss this. We're just going. Do we actually go and say, God, go with me. God, lead me. Lord, today, give me an opportunity to pray for someone. Give me an opportunity to share your love. We get to. This is not how you have to do this, but we have something so special in us, which is the very presence of God. That's not just for you. God did not give you his presence for you. That's just a little part of it, but it's for others around you. So how are you demonstrating it? Praying for someone. We say here at Pneuma, prayer fuels power. It fuels power. So you want to see power? Pray. His power. It's not your power. Your prayers are powerful and effective, but it's because you're praying in the name of Jesus Christ. So I'm telling you, start asking God, Lord, show me who to pray for. He's going to show you. The question is, will you step out and pray? And he's so patient. I've told you guys this story before. One night, it's probably like 2 a.m. in the morning. Wifey's not feeling too great. Oh, man. I'm trying to sleep, wifey. Next thing, I have to go to Chemist Warehouse at 2 a.m. in the morning. So I end up at Chemist Warehouse. There's a shop. The shop attendant. Yeah, the bishop. The shop attendant is there helping me. Bro, can I help you? Yeah, man, I'm looking for this and that. Then I notice he's limping. I'm like, bro, what's happened? And then he tells me he's got this infection and he's going to get checked out later on. Immediately I get the thought, pray for him. Lord, I'm not even supposed to be here. It's like 2:30. I need to be sleeping. I need to wake up at 5 o'clock to spend time with you. Respect our God time, Lord. And I'm trying to justify all these things. And I get to the counter talking to him. I'm like, hey, bro, love to pray. Can I pray for you for healing for your leg? He's like, oh, sure. So I pray for him and he's got his eyes open looking at me. I just pray for him and I just start speaking other things over him, whatever I felt God was saying. I'm like, awesome, man. Good to see you. And I'm walking out. And I said, bro, what's your name? He goes, Josh. Oh, Joshua. Then I told him the name of the meaning of the name Joshua. And he's like, man, thank you so much. He goes, no one's ever done anything like this for me. No one's ever done. I said, bro, I wasn't even supposed to be here. And now I know why. It's just because God loves you. Then I just went. And I don't know what happened with his leg or whatever, but it's just like that prayer would have made such a big difference. So if I hadn't prayed for him, who else was going to pray for him? If you don't, who will? You guys are getting it. You're getting it. If you don't, who will? Just the other day, I had a great opportunity of reaching out to the local member of parliament. And I went there to reach out to just say, hey, we're here in Yuma South. Would love to get more involved in the community. You know, what's happening? And I went there thinking, man, I would love to pray, you know, for these guys. But I'm just thinking, they're probably going to say no. Because many times we actually say people's no for them. We say people's no for them. We just assume they're going to say no. But we're saying no to God, who's saying, be my hands, be my feet. So we just get chatting. And as we're chatting, great chats, I mentioned that I'd love to pray for him. And he said, I was actually going to ask you if you could do that. And I said, I'll pray for you at the end. We chatted, prayed for him at the end. He's got a Catholic background. So I'm ready to pray for him. He puts his hand on the table like this. He's just ready to receive. I start to pray for him. I just sense God's presence in a way that I haven't before. Prayed for him, spoke over his family. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. In that moment, I'm thinking, he's Catholic, so do I need to like do this and that? Should I say in the name of the Father? You know, and I'm thinking, oh, those things are going through your mind. But it's all about your heart and what God's doing in the moment. So I say, amen. And he said, thank you. He said, thank you. He said this word, sincerely thank you. He was so thankful. He said, tell the church that we appreciate your prayers. You know, if we don't pray for them, the Bible says to pray for the authorities, for the government. And we pray for the government every now and again. But to actually sit down with one of them and hear that they appreciate our prayers, just like, if you don't pray, who will? So for them to see it, we've got to demonstrate it. Got to be intentional. So I'm just believing we're going to see more signs and wonders happening in this church. We're going to see more signs and wonders happening outside. We're going to hear stories and stories. Point number three this morning. Do you have a fire in you to see people get saved? Do you have a fire in you? See, I haven't always had this. I've been a Christian since 1996. And my whole thing was, you just do life with them. Just be friends with them. Don't shove it down their throat. And I'm not encouraging shoving down their throat. But for me, that was an excuse to not share the gospel. I was ashamed of the gospel. It says in Romans 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of salvation. So, like, it's hard for me to say I was ashamed of the gospel, but what else is it if I actually can't talk about it or if I'm scared to? But that's not really our heart, but fear gets in the way. We'll talk about that next week. But do you actually have a fire in you, a desire? I think it's Charles Spurgeon says something like, if you don't have a desire to see people getting saved, then maybe you're not saved at all. If you don't have a desire to see people get saved, then maybe you're not saved at all. Maybe we all need a new revelation on what it is we're saved from, what it is to get saved. Because, man, we have the best thing in the whole world. We have God. We have Jesus. It's available to everyone. But how can they have it if we don't give it? God's like, I've done my part. Man, when you got saved that day, God was like, hey, oh yes, yes, yes. God, the angels and God are going, oh yes, Mary's going to get saved because Steve got saved. They're shouting out all these names, John, Andrew, Sam. I didn't plan this, I'm just getting excited. But they got excited, and then what did I do? What did you do? We get comfortable. We get caught up in life. We forget what God's done for us. But at the moment, it's like, God, thank you. But then we're out there and we're not even showing off what we got. And it's not showing it off in that way. It's actually in a way of, man, we have the answer. And you'll step out and you feel like that didn't work. But you just don't know what God's doing. You don't know what God's doing. So do you have a fire in you to see people get saved? There's a girl from this church. You all know her. She's been a great encouragement for many of us and for myself over the last 16 months because I've just seen this fire in her to see people get saved. We'll be like in a prayer power meeting when we're having meetings and then in the afternoon, we're all praying. We're like, Lord, send out the laborers. Then I'm like, we're praying, I'm like, where's Amanda? She comes back 10 minutes later, oh, God just put it on my heart to go tell 3 people that Jesus loves you. So that's what I was doing. And she tells us the stories. And that's just one story. Can you join me, Amanda, right now? Like, there's just, hopefully she can get through this. I won't make her cry. But there's such a fire in Amanda to see people get saved. And all it is that she's just grasped that God saved her and that people need it. So, yeah, here we are, Amanda. Tell me, what's your journey? How did you get to the point of having such a fire to see people saved, but to actually yourself step out and be that, filling that gap?
Yeah, I think for me it started when I first got saved 5 years ago. I got brought up in church and then I didn't really have this intimate relationship with Jesus until then I really encountered him. And he actually got me like a job in the city. So I was living in Wonthaggi. So I was getting this bus back and forth. And I guess like on my bus rides, I'd sense the presence of God like so intensely in those spaces when I'd be traveling. And for me, normally when I travel, I'd have my backpack like on the seat, headphones, head down, no one come near me. And it wasn't that I didn't like people, it was just like the only voice that I had ever known within myself was when I'd be holding a glass of bourbon. And I'd kind of been trapped under the lie. I started when I was 14 and for 14 years I had this like lie that I couldn't say anything of value unless I was holding this thing. So then with the Lord, because I knew he was there and he wanted to sit with me on the bus, I was like, all right, I'm taking my backpack off the seat, putting it down. I'm just going to like sit up, look around, like Jesus is sitting with me. And if someone sits with me, that's because he's gotten up and let them have the seat and I can't argue with the Lord. So I was like, all right, here we go. And I think it just started with I wasn't going around preaching or whatever, but I was just sitting there with Jesus and just really thinking, like looking at these other people and thinking, oh, do they know this man of hope that's sitting next to me? Wow. And he just started, like I started just to care for people. I wasn't going around doing anything, but I just started really caring for people that I didn't actually know. And so we would travel a lot and it just kind of got to a point where I was like, oh, I really want to like tell someone. And but like I didn't know, I was still like riddled with all this like fear and stuff. And so I'd be traveling on buses or Ubers or riding my bike and I'd be like, oh, how can I? And like, so I started giving people stuff just to open up something. So like if I was in an Uber, I'd be, oh, tip this guy. And I was so scared to say Jesus, but I'd be like, God bless you, you know? Cause I was just like, oh, I got to like throw God in here cause I'm not this nice. I don't want to give my money away to anyone. This is God money. So it started going on a journey with that and just starting stepping out in spaces. And then it got to a point where I was giving stuff away, doing stuff with the Lord. And then it got to a place where I got to a point and he's like, oh, that girl there. And I was like, oh, I don't have anything on me, Lord. Like, he's like, just go talk with her. And I was like, no. And like, I just ran away. And that really just for me, like it shut a gate on it for probably a year. I didn't actually really go and approach people. I would actually be the person who was like, in the story of the Good Samaritan, the one who would cross the road. Like I physically would see people and I had this burden for people, but I would see them and I would cross the road to avoid them. And so through that year, it was really hard. But then, yeah, then revival broke out a bit and he got a hold of me.
What happened with revival? Tell us what happened with revival. That revival conference?
The revival conference. So we went there and God did amazing things in us. But one thing he really was dealing with within me was the fear of man. And I feel like a lot of that got broken off at the conference. So I remember like the week after the conference, I like got dressed, like ready to hit the streets. And God's like, where are you going? Go to work. Like, I was just like, I'm like, fine, but I'm going to tell everyone on the way to work that you love them. And so I literally was just telling everyone, it was intense. I was just like, Jesus loves you. I wasn't even getting on this bus and I just popped my head in and be like, hey, Jesus loves you, sir. Like, it was just insane. It was so beautiful. I had this, beautiful time with him. And then he started like pushing me to be like, hey, let's pray for them now. And I was like, oh, Lord, like, can we do this other thing? And then I'll just share one little story where he really pushed me in that space. So I was actually traveling back from Canberra on a train. It was like, it's like a 7-hour ride. And I was sitting at the train stop just waiting and this girl came up and we just started having a chat. And, and she was telling me a few of her needs because she just finished school and she needs a place to like live when she gets accepted into uni. She doesn't want uni, all these things. And I kind of felt like, you can pray with her over these things. This is awesome. She's got these needs. Like, let's bring them before the Lord. And I was like, oh, I don't want to do that. And so we spoke for like 10 minutes. And then I was like, oh, yeah, look, I just want to let you know that Jesus loves you. And then I just like ended it there. I was just like, nah, I'm not praying, I'm not doing it. And and then I was like, oh, so great, like meeting you, having a chat. And then the train pulls up and it's a V-line train and you actually get assigned seating in this space. So there's like three carriages or four. And I'm like, oh, so nice, man. You have a great, trip back. And oh, okay, bye. And I go and jump on where my seating is. Guess who sits with me? For like 3 hours we're there and I'm just like, oh, okay, let's, yeah. And I literally like just ignored that thought for probably like 2.5 hours. I was like, nah. And then I was like, look, can I pray with you? And was able to pray with her and she got onto my Instagram. And so we just connected in that space and we just prayed into like getting accepted into the right uni and like where she gets a place to live. And I actually checked in with her at the start of the year and she messaged me and we were talking and I was like, hey, how'd you go with finding a place and stuff? She said, yeah, I got into the first home that I applied for. I got into the uni that I wanted. And I'm like, that's Jesus right there, So it's awesome, yeah.
That's amazing. If you don't, who will? Just really quickly, so Amanda now this year, she's given up so much in her life this year to actually be part of a Pneuma School of the Spirit. And she's part of the college Tuesday to Friday and she serves here on Sundays, really involved in evangelism and Alpha and all that. But maybe just give us one thing when it comes to evangelism that you've learned or how you've grown in Pneuma School of the Spirit in this area.
I've definitely grown a lot in this area. It's definitely been challenging. I think for me, because I've always done it alone with the Lord. And then I was really excited getting amongst others and learning and growing with them. But I really felt like this kind of, this fear amongst other believers. And And God's kind of taking me on a journey with that. And because I've been, I'm just fearful. Like, what is this fear? And he actually showed me this, actually, like this spirit of comparison that you've put on yourself by actually looking at other people's stories or other people's like gifting and gracing and how their personalities and things like that. But so I think I've been really stretched in that place, but also in knowing that, you know, I'm not actually writing my story. Jesus is. So, you know, the story and the stories that I have to share, they're Jesus's stories. And I just really encourage us not to always look at other people's stories and think, oh, I'm doing this because I want to do what they're doing. It's like, I want to do what Jesus is doing in this moment. But yeah, that's just something I've learned.
Thank you, Amanda. So good. That's amazing, hey? And God is doing that in so many of us, and he wants to do that in all of us in our own ways. If you don't, who will? So do you have a fire in you to see people get saved? See, the Holy Spirit baptism, the baptism of the Spirit. John said when Jesus comes, he will baptize you with fire. And he baptizes us with fire. We have that fire in us already if you've been baptized in the Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit in you already if Jesus is already in your life and you are saved. But we need to be awakened to that fire of that desire of wanting to see people saved, because that's his heart. Do you have a fire in you to see people get saved? Man, life gets busy. We all can focus on other things. But actually, this is the main thing. This is why we exist. This is why we're here. This is why we're here, so that souls would be saved. If we're not seeing people get saved in our day-to-day, if we're not seeing people get saved in our services, we might as well all just pack up and go home. But just imagine our lives and our church with each and every one of us awaken to people need to get saved. People need the love of God. Lord, show me who I can minister to today. See, fire consumes. Fire catches on to stuff. There's a fire that God wants to mark you with that you can't even contain. You Claire's in an Uber yesterday. She couldn't help herself but tell the Uber driver Jesus loves you, because she got marked. And this is for all of us. Are there lost people around you? You don't even have to. It's not about feeling guilty. You know, we can get caught up in feeling guilty. Oh, I didn't do this. I didn't do that. I missed that. God just wants you to be aware of his presence, aware of what he's doing. He wants you to be aware of his voice. And when you listen, you'll be amazed at what he does. Does anyone here want to be awakened to that fire that God has? See, God can give you that fire. He gives us that fire so that we can be lights. We can be a light of the world. The last point this morning is, when was the last time that you lit up a dark place? Because Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, he says, you are the light of the world. See, Jesus himself is the light of the world, but then he is in us through the Holy Spirit. And he tells the people, you are the light of the world. You're not the light of the church. There's so much light in this room. Yeah. Most of us here know Jesus, are walking in that way with Jesus. There's so much light. We're all just here lighting each other up. But actually, when we go out, we come here, we get charged up in his presence. But when we go out there, it's dark. And we're to be like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. And we get to light up places all the time. A room that you walk into will get lit up because you got the presence of God in you. Things shift. Spiritual atmospheres shift. If she's saying, God, give me this fly, I'm telling you, you can walk into certain places, people will start to kick you out because they sense there's something about you that does not agree with the place. You walk into places where you start to sense things that you start to just pray for the place and things start to shift. But we have the light and God calls us to shine our light. But we need to be awakened to the fire. We need to be aware of His heart that He's given us. We are to be lights of the world. People actually get attracted to you. They don't even know why they want to talk to you. People are like, I'm sure you guys can relate to this. People are like, I don't even know why I'm telling you this. You're just there with them. You're there for them. Next thing, they're just sharing their lives with you. That's because you're shining the light. They're drawn to God's light in you, just like Mozzies and Moths are drawn to the light in the dark. They're just coming for that. It's like, shut the door, otherwise they're all coming in. But with this, you're like, we ain't shutting the door. Come on in, let me share the gospel with you. Because for them to hear it, you've got to proclaim it. For them to see it, you've got to demonstrate it. Do you have a fire in you to see people get saved? Let's be a people that pray for opportunities. See, I've been praying for these opportunities on and off. And recently, I went into a situation where I saw light come into a room. Most of you have heard this story, but on Mondays, I love to go for a swim, hit the sauna after that, hit the spa after that. One Monday, I was supposed to be at Waves. I love Cheltenham Waves. I love going there for a swim. I swim for a K. And then after that, I jump in the sauna for 15 minutes. After that, I'll jump in the spa for 15. And I feel refreshed. And I go on my merry way. But this Monday, I had some issues in the family that I had to go to Coburg. And so try to fit it all in and ended up at Clifton Hills Pool in the east. But I also needed to pick up my son from school. So I'm trying to get it all done. I'm having my swim. And who knows, the word says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, I think, or 22, if you live by the Spirit, you'll also keep in step with the Spirit. So I'm there swimming and I'm looking at the time. It usually takes me about 40 minutes for my swim, but it's 22 minutes, but the time is just running away from me. And I'm thinking I need to jump into the sauna. But I really wanted, I was just all about goals and just achieving. So I'm like, no, I want to do my K. But I'm like, all right, stuff this. I'll go to the sauna. So I go to the sauna. I walk in. There's this guy sitting there. He's like, how you going, man? I'm like, good, bro. How are you? I'm not used to people saying hi to me in the sauna. And I'm sitting down. And it was just him in the sauna. And I go to sit down and I'm going to my GPS watch to set 15 minutes because I want to be in there for 15 minutes. So as I'm trying to do that, he's going, oh, day off? I'm like, yeah, man, day off. He goes, oh, what do you do? I go, oh, I'm a pastor. And then he goes, oh, well, you should be able to help me with all the evil spirits that have been tormenting me. And I'm still like trying to put my timer on. Then I just went, stuff the timer, today is the day. I didn't know what was coming, but I just knew here is an opportunity to share Jesus confidently. He just starts pumping me with questions. Hey, man, so like, how do you connect with God? I've just really been thinking. So I start, before I even finish telling him, he's asking me something else. It was just like ping pong, just bang, bang, bang. And then he goes out to get a water and then he comes back and then a lady comes in. I'm like, oh, man, I'm not just talking to him. This lady's going to be listening. So I'm freaking out a little bit, but I just kept going for it. She walks out and it was really close to a spa and people would keep coming towards the sauna and I'll start freaking out. Oh, I'm going to have to like tone it down. But then somehow they'll just end up going to the spa. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. But he's talking about how his life has just been turned upside down. Drugs. He's tried to commit suicide. He's got so much Valium or something in him that his health is just messed up. That's why he needs to be in the sauna so much. And I'm talking to him about God. He used to be Catholic. And we're chatting all this stuff and I'm just like, bro, God is chasing you. You are on God's heart. But he's just thinking about what he does, how messed up he thinks he is and how unworthy. He's like, but I think if I give my life to God, I'm going to mess up again. I'm like, bro, that doesn't matter. He just wants you to come as you are. And we just keep chatting. And then next thing he's like, bro, how can I do that? I'm like, wow, okay. I'm like, man, I explain the gospel to him. We go back to Genesis. We talk about that. It was really short. It wasn't complex. And he accepted for me to pray for him. So I prayed for his health. And then I explained to him the sinner's prayer. And then I led him through the salvation prayer. And dude got saved in the sauna on a Monday. Like, for me, that's the first time I've seen someone saved outside the four walls of the church. And it's so easy to be sheltered in the church, but when we go out, we don't share anything. From then on, we connected and we did a Bible reading plan, a devotional on YouVersion called Why Jesus. It's a good thing for new Christians to do. It's a 5-day plan. So we did it together online. There's a little chat thing you can do. Just share what you're getting out of the thing. So we were just communicating 5 days in a row. After that, it's like, can we do something else? So we did the how to pray, and the story goes on and on. Got to disciple this guy online. I was just like, wow, there's opportunities out there. We can easily say no for people, but there's opportunities out there. Let's all stand together. What opportunities has God got in store for you? What opportunities is God already having with people that he wants you to join into? Let's all close our eyes. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're speaking. We thank you that you're here. Romans 10:14 says, How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed if no one preaches to them? How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? I just believe and I just know that God is calling all of us to this. How are people to believe if we don't preach, if we don't share, if we don't demonstrate? So I ask you today, if you don't, who will? Who is it that you will proclaim the gospel to? Who is it that you will pray for? Who is it that you'll start a conversation with? Who is it that you will continue a conversation with? Because if you don't, who will? I really believe that today is the day of salvation. God's calling people here today to do the Sharing Jesus Confidently course. If you're here, you've never done it, at the end, at the back of church at the Info Hub, we have Sharing Jesus Confidently books you can take home and do the course online. But I really believe God's stirring people in your hearts right now, people that you need to pray for, people you need to speak to. And even for some of us, as we walk out of church today, go to lunch, God's going to put someone on your heart, something on your heart. And sometimes it will seem like a crazy thing, but God just wants you to step out. He wants to see, actually, will you do that? No matter the rejection, no matter the response, and as you say yes to what he's asking you to do, he's actually going to trust you for the next thing. He's actually going to trust you for the next thing. So Lord, we pray that we have a fire in our hearts, a fire in our souls. Lord, that obedience will be the thing that marks us, that would humble ourselves, would have your humility and your grace to share your love.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.